Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Please join us. JD will lead us in prayer.
Father God, we come before you this morning and thank you so much for everything that you have done in our life, Father. We thank you that you change everything, Father. We thank you, dear Lord Jesus, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, Father. And Lord Jesus, you are all that we need. So, Father, we pray today that we have come to worship and to praise you, Father, in spirit and in truth. And Father, I want to uplift our pastor, Lord, as he comes and as he prepares to break the bread of life before us today, Father. Fill our hearts, Father. Fill our hearts with you, we pray today. Pray for all the Sunday school teachers, dear Lord Jesus, and all those taking care of the small children, Father, that you will bless them. Use them as an instrument, Father, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you, and we thank you so much for loving and caring for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
It's been a fantastic week. Here at Second Mile Church, we've had great Bible school. We had almost as many workers as we did children. It was so structured and organized, and we owe a big debt of gratitude to Lauren Henderson. She's been our director and leader for that. We praise God for it. And I'm looking around at the church house this morning, and a lot of y'all are not in your seat, and that's because we've got a lot of guests and visitors here today. Praise God. Thank you for choosing to be in the house of the Lord with us today. And last Sunday, I kicked off Bible school with a sermon called Jesus. Following Jesus does change everything. And the Lord changed lives this week. And I'm praying that He'll change a life in here today. I'm praying that He'll change a life in here today. And He can do that. We're in Psalm 51. You'd be finding that this morning. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes. You know, this is the year of getting set free in 23. That's our theme for the year, getting free in 23. Look at your neighbor and say, getting free in 23. And we've seen God free a lot of people up this year from all kinds of things. We've seen people saved and get free from the penalty and the power and the presence and even the person of sin. We've seen God send freedom to folks and get set free from things like discouragement and stress and anxiety and all kinds of things, loneliness. We've seen people experience the gift of freedom from fear. We had a young lady in our church who had been battling fear for 5 years, and God set her free. Hallelujah. And other areas of freedom that God set people free in our church. Some folks have been freed from legalism, bitterness, pride, and unbelief. Well, this morning, we're going to learn how to get free from guilt. And I want to tell you, all of us deal with guilt from time to time because, bless God, we're all sinners. Y'all didn't come to hear that, but that's who we are, right? So let's all stand as we honor the reading of God's Word. Psalm 51, this is the Word of the Lord for the people of the Lord today. Psalm 51, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. You will make me to know wisdom. I can't stop, y'all. I got to keep reading. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Father, bless the reading and the teaching and the preaching of your holy, authoritative word. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we ask it, amen. Please be seated. We're getting free from guilt this morning. And all of us, from time to time, have to deal with guilt in our lives. Now, I'm not talking about undeserved guilt. Sometimes things happen. You know, there'll be an accident in a family, or there'll be a suicide or something like that, and people are left holding the bag, and they begin to think thoughts like, oh man, I could have done something to have stopped this, and they get to feeling guilt. That's undeserved guilt. We're not talking about that kind of guilt. We're talking about real, shown up, deserved guilt. And by the way, God will never convict you unless he convicts you of sin in your life that you haven't confessed. That's what his conviction is all about. And here's what I want to say to you. If you don't deal with the guilt in your life, it's going to bring up some negative stuff. It will consume you. It'll eat you alive. You'll wake up in the middle of the night guilt-ridden. It'll wear you out. It'll make an old man out of you. You'll start looking like me. Some of y'all will get that when you get to the house. It'll haunt you every time you look in the mirror, and it can drive you to the point of depression if you don't learn how to deal with your guilt. Now, you may have been in a marriage that's ended, and you've got guilt over that. It may be a relationship that's gone south. It may be a parent here that's feeling guilty about the way they treated their child, or maybe it's a child. Or a teenager that's feeling guilt about being disobedient to mom or dad. Or maybe it's some secret that you kept in your spirit for years and years and years. And you've got guilt over all that this morning. Can I just share one of my earliest memories of guilt? I was probably about, I guess I was 8 or 9 years old, Lexi. And we were on a family vacation. And we were in my daddy's old beat up, worn out blue station wagon, 7 of us in there, and we're headed from Clarksville all the way out to Oklahoma. Well, we got out there on I-40, and dad needed some gas, and so he pulled over. And at that time, y'all, I would get an allowance, a huge allowance of 25 cents a week, okay? But when I spent the allowance, it was gone, okay? And so we pull up into this gas station, and Dad gets the gas and all that. And so I had to get up and go to the bathroom in the gas station, so I did. And as I was coming out of the bathroom, man, there was this display of these huge, good-looking Milky Way candy bars. Now, remember, I've already spent my allowance. And so I looked around. Nobody's looking, and I grabbed one of those Milky Way bars and put it in my pocket. Can you believe the preacher did that? Now remember, I'm about 9 years old. And so we get out to the station wagon. I climb in the very back of the station wagon. You know, we had a seat in the back. And I pulled this blanket over me. And, yeah. And Dad gets back out on the interstate. And I pull that Milky Way out. Man, I take a bite. Oh, it's so good. And then I take another bite, you know. But you know what happened to me? Little by little, a voice went off in my spirit. You didn't pay for this. You stole this. It's not yours. And I took another bite. Now, before long, I couldn't finish the Milky Way bar because instead of being sweet and gooey and chocolatey, it was sour and bitter. And so I started kind of feeling, not kind of, I was getting eaten up with guilt. I started whimpering, you know. And one of my sisters heard me, and she said, "Mama, there's something wrong with Cal." And so Mom turns around the front seat and hollers in the back. She said, "Son, what's the matter with you?" And I said, "Mama, I stole his candy bar. And I feel awful." And you know what my dad did? He turned around. We went back to that gas station. And I went in and told the owner. And the owner said, "Son, it's okay. I saw you take it, and I've already taken care of it. I forgive you." You know, and then we, you know what? You talking about all that guilt and all that stuff just went away. I want to talk to you about getting free of guilt. By the way, if you're feeling guilty this morning, you may be living with guilt today, but you don't have to live with guilt tomorrow. Look at somebody and tell them, "Let's get free." All right, now we're looking at David's adulterous affair with Bathsheba, and then the eventual murder of Bathsheba's husband Uriah. And all this had happened about a year ago, and man, it's David's getting eaten up with guilt. As I was reading those verses of scripture, I mean, his bones are brittle. I mean, he feels awful. He's guilt-ridden, and it's because he's never publicly acknowledged his sin. And you know, it's amazing how God has an ability to bring things out in the open. He sent the prophet Nathan to King David after 12 months of getting eaten up with all this guilt over his sin. And Nathan tells him a story, and it leads to David coming clean about his sin. Undeserved guilt is not the result of sin, but deserved guilt is. And so that's what we want to talk about. And by the way, this is the reason King David wrote the psalm that we just read. Okay? So if you want to get free from guilt, you're going to learn how to do that this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, "I can't wait to learn how." Yeah. All right. Here's the first step towards getting free from guilt. Real easy step. It's not easy to do, but it's simple to understand. You need to confess your sin to the Lord. That's the first step towards getting free. Confess your sin to the Lord. Or you could say uncover your sin. Now, David has confessed his sin to the Lord there in verses 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. And you know what I have found out? If you'll uncover your sin, God will cover it up. But if you try to cover up your sin, He'll uncover it so everybody and their dog will see it. And so that's the key. That's the first step to coming clean with God about your sin. Now, David blesses me. I want you to look at these personal pronouns here in verse 1. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." You hear what David's saying? It's me, O Lord. And he doesn't start playing the blame game. He doesn't blame his upbringing. He doesn't blame his sinful nature. He doesn't play the victim. He takes responsibility for his sin and he confesses it. This is so huge today because nobody wants to take responsibility for anything anymore. Bless God, when we're feeling guilty and we're in sin, we need to confess that sin, and it's not anybody else's fault but mine. He's not making any excuses, is he? No, he's not making any excuses. And then he uses three words. Did you catch that? To describe his guilt, he uses the word transgressions, which literally means to step over the line, to step outside the boundaries. Okay, and he uses the word iniquity, which carries a perverseness of sin in light of the fact that we have an ever-present, all-knowing God and trying to get away with it. And then he uses the word sin, which means to miss the mark or to fall short. And so David says, "Lord, blot out my transgressions. Wash me from my iniquities. Cleanse me from my sin." This is the first step towards getting clean with God. And by the way, I like that David calls it sin. He doesn't beat around the bush. You see, it's not that David had an affair. He committed adultery. It's not that David had committed homicide. No, he committed murder. It's not that David was stretching the truth. No, he had lied about it. And so that's all God wants to, that's all he just wants. The word confess means to say the same thing as to agree with God. And here's what I've done in my past. Sometimes instead of, well, I'll try to run away from guilt. What we need to do is run to guilt. Because when you try to run away from your guilt and get away from it, the burden's only going to get larger and larger and larger, and the pain will get bigger and bigger and bigger. Confess your sin. Uncover your sin to the Lord. Come clean. By the way, He already knows about it. Hello? Aren't you glad to have the Adult Teen Challenge guys here today? We love y'all. And so, confess your sin. Here's the second step, and it's just as important. Consider the problem of your sin. Consider the problem of your sin. Now look at verse 3 again. I acknowledge my transgressions and my, watch this, my sin is always before me. Isn't it amazing when you're guilty about something, how it's you just get consumed with it. It's all you think about. Right? Hello? Now watch verse 4. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. You know, for 12 months, King David was haunted by the ghost of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband that he put on the front lines to be killed. Everywhere he looked, he saw the ghost of Uriah in the eyes of Bathsheba, who's now his wife. In the cynical eyes of his commander of his army, a guy named Joab, he saw the ghost of Uriah in the eyes of his soldiers and his palace servants and even his own sons and family. And that ghost had been haunting him for 12 long months. But now David turns around and he faces the real problem. His sin was ever before him. And the worst problem, the thing that was he just couldn't get past. Yeah, he'd sinned against Uriah. He'd sinned against Bathsheba. He'd sinned against Ahithophel, his advisor and counselor, who happened to be Bathsheba's granddaddy. He'd sinned against his own family. But first and foremost, his sin was against the Lord God. By the way, let me just say this to you. God is the standard bearer. He's the one who lifts up His commandments and His statutes. And when we sin, we break His law. Are y'all with me? Yeah, it affects other people, but first and foremost, our sin is against the Lord God. And let me say this. David understood that he hadn't just committed adultery. He was an adulterer. What do you call somebody who tells a lie? A liar? He hadn't just committed a murder, he's a murderer at heart. And so he's getting to the problem of his sin. And I like to put it this way, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Let me say that again. The heart of the problem with sin is the problem of the heart. Our heart, Jeremiah 17:9 says, is evil and deceitfully wicked. Mercy. And so what David needed was forgiveness. He needed to be cleaned up. And watch this. I want everybody to hear this. Verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Brothers and sisters, we are born into sin. We're sinners by birth. And I hear this all the time when we're talking about all different kinds of issues. Well, I was born that way. Well, bless God, your first birth was defective. That's why you need to be born again. That's why you need to be born again. Come on, I'm giving y'all some great truth right now. It doesn't matter how you were born wrong. We were born sinners, and you proved that you were born a sinner when, guess what? You chose to sin. You knew it was wrong. You did it anyways, and so you proved that you were born that way. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Woo, mercy. Somebody's either going to get mad and walk out or get saved today. Hallelujah. All right, y'all with me so far? I love what Dr. James Merritt says about this. He said what David needed was a spiritual heart transplant, and you can't get one of those on Amazon. The only one who can take care of the problem of our heart, who is our great physician, the Lord Jesus. And so David says, man, I'm going to the source. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer, standing in the need of forgiveness. And so consider the problem of your sin. Who is your sin against? Well, first and foremost, it's against the one who created you. Here's the last one. Here's the third step. Are you ready? Call on the Lord to remove your sin and your guilt. Call on the Lord. Now look at verse 10. Watch this. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Now, David was already a man after God's own heart. We read about that. And so David's heart belonged to God. And so what he needed was not a brand new heart, but he needed a clean heart. Okay? And that's what happens when we sin. We need a cleansing. I loved the old song we sang, the old hymn we sang this morning. Did you read the words on that? Whew. Wash all my sin away. Wash all my sin away. And so David not only needed pardon from his sin, watch this, he needed purity from his sin. He not only needed to be cleared from his sin, he needed to be cleansed from his sin. And he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and watch this, and renew. Renew. In other words, that tells you that was something that he had in the past. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. David needed to be totally cleansed from his sin. And for that to happen, he needed some radical heart surgery. And once David came clean with God about his sin, and once he realized that who his sin was against, and he confessed, God removed that guilt from his heart and soul. And David was released, renewed, revived, and restored. God renewed his spirit. That's the last thing. You've got to come clean with God about your sin. You have to, by calling on his name. And if you want to get free from guilt this morning, bless God, you can. You can. If you're willing to confess your sin and consider the problem behind your sin and call on the Lord to remove your sin and guilt. Now, there's a little boy named Johnny and a little girl named Sally. And they went to visit their grandparents for the summer. Okay? And to make a long story short, Johnny's granddaddy gave him his first slingshot. Now, you know, we don't give our kids slingshots anymore. We give them cell phones. But Johnny had to learn how to use that slingshot. So one day he's off in the woods practicing and with his slingshot, you know, and he's having trouble hitting his target. And so he's kind of discouraged. Well, he leaves the woods late that morning, and he's coming through his grandma's backyard, and he spots her favorite pet duck. And he didn't even think about it. He just pulled his slingshot out, grabbed a rock, and put it in there. bam, and the duck fell dead. And Johnny immediately realized what he'd done. And he runs over and he grabs that duck. And he hides the duck in the wood pile. And then he looks around to see if anybody saw what happened. And sure enough, his sister Sally is standing right over there on the patio and she saw everything that happened. Well, later that afternoon, after lunch, Grandma said, "Sally, come on, help me to wash dishes." And Sally said, "Oh, Johnny told me he wanted to help you in the kitchen today." And she whispered, "Remember the duck?" And so Johnny did the dishes. Well, later that evening, that afternoon, Grandpa wanted to take the children fishing. And Grandma said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I need for Sally to stay here and help me to get supper together for everybody." And Sally smiled and said, "Oh, that's okay, Grandma. It's all taken care of. Johnny's going to stay and help you with supper." You remember that duck, don't you? Yeah, yeah. And so Johnny stayed and helped get supper together while Sally went off fishing with her granddaddy. And this went on for several days. And Johnny was doing not only his chores, but his sister's chores. Until finally, he'd had enough and he confessed to his grandma that he had killed her favorite pet duck. And she said, "Johnny, honey, come here." And he's got tears running down his cheeks. And she hugs him. And she said, "Son, I love you. And I've already forgiven you because I was standing at the kitchen window and I saw it all happen." And then she said this, "I wondered how long you would let Sally make a slave out of you." You know where I'm going now, right? All that guilt, that unconfessed sin, it'll make a slave out of you. It'll wear you out. It'll consume you. And you'll never be able to move on in your life and become everything God wants you to be. But there's good news. You don't have to live in guilt any longer because we've got a Savior who died on the cross, who took our punishment for all of our sin, every sin we've ever committed. Jesus paid it all on the cross for you. And my Bible tells me if you'd be willing to come to Him, His way, not your way, His way, and by faith receive what He did for you on the cross and turn from your sin and surrender to Him as the Lord of your life, giving Him everything that you are, my Bible says He will forgive you and cleanse you and give you a brand new heart. And then the next time you sin, you don't have to carry that guilt around. And you just say, "Lord, here I am again. I am so sorry. Please help me with this. I want to turn from it. I want to forsake it. I want to get rid of it. And it's not anybody's fault but mine. Please forgive me. I have sinned against you again. God, restore me. Remove this guilt." And you know what He'll do? He'll set you free. He'll set you free. I don't know who I'm talking to here today, but I would think dozens of us. Let's take your mask off and just be real with one another. Be real with God. Let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I just want to thank you. I'll never forget that day as a 9-year-old boy. I'd already been saved for a couple of months. And yet when I stole that candy bar, man, your spirit went to work. And God, some of my brothers and sisters are here this morning. And they're dealing with the same old stuff that I deal with on a regular basis. And I pray you'd free us from the sin of guilt. And deliver us from the embarrassment and shame and the filth and the dirtiness and the guilt of sin today. And I know there are folks here that need to be saved today. That need to be born again. And I pray, God, that right now you would convict their hearts of their sin. And that they would come to Jesus as the only means of their salvation. And they would cry out to him today, "Save me. Save me, Lord. Forgive me. Cleanse me, wash me." If that'd be your situation right now where you sit, do that right now before it's eternally too late. Just say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I have sinned against you and my sins ever before me. And right now, Father, I want you to know I believe that your Son died for all my sin. He's your Son. And Lord, I don't believe he's dead. I believe he got up from the grave and he's alive today. And I want to ask your Son to come into my life, into my heart. I give you everything that I am to everything that you are. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your salvation." If you prayed a prayer like that this morning, I believe you personally got saved. We had some kids pray a prayer like that this week. And there's some adults in here today that need to pray that way. Let me tell you, we're all going to stand before God one day, and what you do with Jesus determines where you're going to spend eternity. Father, bless this time of invitation. Pour out your Spirit on us. There are many here who need to get set free from their guilt, and there are many here who need to be saved and get set free eternally from their sin. Oh God, you do what only you can do. We promise to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Won't you listen real carefully? This altar up here is a place to meet God. It's a place to be challenged. It's a place to make commitments. It's a place to get right with God. And it'll keep you accountable. We want to ask you today, if you've got guilt, man, we'd love to pray over you and pray with you. We're all in the same boat, brothers and sisters. We're all in this thing together, and we all need God. If you're here today, and you prayed to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to come. Just come forward. You don't have to say anything other than, "I prayed to receive Christ." And we want to thank God for you and pray over you and get you started right in your new life with Christ. I hope I'm making myself crystal clear. Once you come to Jesus, you belong to Him. You answer to Him. Let's all stand. And you come as we sing. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.